As always, it's good to be with you. Here on God Is, we've been talking about who God is in the context of the life of Jesus, and we've seen that God is merciful. For the last couple of days, we read in Mark chapter 1 and focused our attention on Jesus healing a leper. This revealed the mercy of God. Let me reread the key verses to remind you. This is the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. I invited you to highlight the word compassion in verse 41. Moved with compassion, Jesus healed this man. It's the compassionate Jesus. It's the merciful God. This is what the God-man offers the leper. Compassion and mercy. Well-integrated traits in the living and one true God. God is merciful. Now today, as we continue in a brand new week, we come all the way down to Mark's Gospel to the 6th chapter. For those of you who read this passage before now, did you see the merciful God again extend his compassion? It should have been obvious to you, but let's tackle this now together, and I will begin reading at Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. We put in together today at Mark 6 and verse 30. The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And Jesus said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. As the scene shifts to chapter 6, it begins with Jesus in his hometown of Nazareth. Mark 6 and verse 1 reads, "Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him." And verse 1 tells us details of importance. The location is Nazareth, and Jesus has his disciples with him. By now he has more followers, specifically 12 men, which include the four we've already met. Remember them? Simon, Andrew, James, and John. And there are 8 more. And these 12 are with the Lord in verse 1, and they are with him in verse 30. But in verse 30, they are called by another title, apostles. Apostles. We're missing some detail on these 12 men, first called disciples and now apostles, because we have not read all of Mark chapters 1 through Mark 6. We can't. Time does not permit us to do so. But time will permit you to do so. And I encourage you to read, for example, in Mark 2 when Jesus calls Matthew. Just because I am not going chapter by chapter and verse by verse here doesn't mean you cannot on your own time in the reading of God's Word. Okay, I snuck in a little mini sermon there, but let me center us in verse 30 of Mark 6. The apostles have been out engaged in their own ministry, and when they return, they're tuckered out. They're tired. So Jesus is going to take them on a retreat. I do love verse 31. And Jesus said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." That sounds good, doesn't it? Feeling exhausted? Come away with Jesus and have a rest, my friend. And off Jesus and his apostles go to a secluded place by themselves, by boat. They leave Capernaum on water. But by the time they get to where they are going, to the other side, the crowds have sprinted by land around the lake, and they are waiting for Jesus and the apostles. That's what Mark 6, verse 33 says. Let me read that. "The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them." I do not think this means the entire crowd beat Jesus and the apostles to the shore, but some did. A young, fast runner on land will beat a boat with no tailwind or a strong headwind across a lake. And that is what happened, at least for some of the crowd. They're hustling to reconnect with the Lord. And as more and more people arrive, they form a massive crowd, as we're going to see. But now look and listen carefully with me to Jesus' response. This is in verse 34. I'm reading Mark chapter 6, verse 34. "When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." That's Mark 6, verse 34. And what word do you think I will invite you to highlight? That's right, it is the word compassion. Jesus felt compassion for them. The Greek word used for compassion is the same Greek word we had back in Mark chapter 1. Let me remind you what it means. This word means to be moved in the inward parts, to be moved in the emotions, moved in the heart for pity, for compassion, for mercy. Jesus is human, and like all human beings, Jesus has emotions. In his inner person, he's moved with compassion for this crowd, and he wants to extend to them his mercy. Out of his mercy, he wants to do something for them, and so the Lord Jesus Christ takes action. But before we get to what Jesus does for them, there's a little phrase here in verse 34 that needs to be explained. It's this: they were like sheep without a shepherd. This is quite the word picture, isn't it? Now, you are likely not a shepherd. Neither am I. But maybe you have visited a farm or seen pictures of sheep grazing on a picturesque hillside with a shepherd standing there keeping watch over his flocks. The task of the shepherd is to make sure that his sheep are well fed. It is his job to lead them and protect them and make sure they do not fall into any disasters. He's got to keep his eyes peeled for wolves and coyotes that will destroy his sheep. Sheep without a shepherd are in grave danger. Sheep are defenseless on their own. Well, Jesus says these people waiting for him on the other side of the lake are like sheep, and they are like sheep with no shepherd. That makes them hungry. They have nothing to eat, as we shall read, and that makes them people who do not have guidance and direction in their lives. They have no one to protect them and care for them, and this makes them very susceptible to destruction. And of course, Jesus, in this sense, is speaking of spiritual destruction. How do I know that? Two reasons. First, this picture of the people being like sheep without a shepherd is Old Testament imagery for people who are lost spiritually. Second, notice in verse 34 what Jesus does for them. The second part of verse 34 of Mark 6 reads, Jesus began to teach them many things. Yes, I know he will also feed them, meeting their physical needs, but first Jesus teaches them in order to meet their more important spiritual needs. So by using the phrase, like sheep without a shepherd, Jesus is speaking about both physical and spiritual needs. I hope you understand this. We must read this passage, as we read all of the passages of Scripture, very carefully. You know what this crowd needs? They need mercy. They need someone to shepherd them, to care for them, and to have compassion on them. They need a shepherd who's merciful to them, and that shepherd is Jesus. Jesus teaches them. Isn't this what you need today? Are you like a sheep without a shepherd? Are you lost? Are you wandering around in life with no one to protect you? Perhaps you're lonely and afraid. Are you anxious, fearful, and nervous? Do you need God's mercy in your life? Well, God is merciful, and God wants you to know of his gentle and sincere compassion for you in the circumstances of your life. And God has sent Jesus to teach you many things. As Jesus felt compassion for these people along the lake, so too Jesus has compassion for you out there on the lake shore of your life. You may have some physical needs you require him to meet, but your deepest need is spiritual. Thus far, you feel separated from Jesus because of your sin. Even though some of you are Christian, your sin is severe, and it's stolen the joy of your relationship with Christ. Sin has robbed you of relationship. You're away from your flock, your church, and a community of other believers, and you may be wondering, how can I get back? You feel judged, condemned, and down and out. I'm inviting you today to read Mark 6 with me and to believe it. As Jesus demonstrates mercy to this crowd, so too Jesus today, right now, offers you his mercy. He offers you his forgiveness for your sin. He is the compassionate Christ. No matter how severe your sin, Jesus will forgive it all if you'll ask him to. And he will meet your physical needs. Do you believe God's word to your mind and to your heart? Will you accept this to be for you? Why don't you drop me an email today or send me a letter? You may feel like a sheep without a shepherd, but if you'll write to me, I'll pray for you and I will offer you the mercy of God by way of conversation. And be sure not to neglect being in a good Bible-believing church if you can, one where people will pursue you, get to know you, love you, and care for you. Pray to God and ask Him to help you find a church with a pastor shepherd that will teach you many things from the Bible, who will listen to you, love you, and care for you. I will pray alongside you for this. In fact, let me pray for you now. Lord Jesus, thank you for being the great and good shepherd. I believe there are people listening to me right now that feel like sheep without a shepherd. Thank you for the compassion you feel towards that person right there by their radio, right there listening to this podcast. God, you are merciful. Help us today to accept your mercy in our lives. As this crowd by the lake received your teaching and then your feeding, so too may we accept your spiritual and physical food. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, I pray this prayer. Amen. Well, we need to end off here soon for today. But when you come back tomorrow, I want to say more about how Jesus responds to this crowd. In preparation for the next broadcast, reread Mark chapter 6 and focus on verses 33 to 44. And read ahead also, if you would like, Mark chapters 8 and 9. As you read, look closely for the words mercy and compassion and pity. That's Mark chapters 8 and 9. Today is New Year's Eve. We sit now on the precipice of a brand new year beginning tomorrow. Wouldn't it be wonderful if in the year 2019, you became a real reader of the Bible? Well, this gives you an opportunity to do so beginning on day one. Sometime before tomorrow's broadcast, just pick up your copy of the Bible or go online to BibleGateway.com and type in Mark 8 and then Mark 9 and read all of those two chapters. That would be a wonderful way for you to end this year and to begin this next year. And speaking of next year, why don't you come and join me again tomorrow on January 1st for God Is...